If we begin with the structuring of a place, then we're working from the top down. So we start instead from the bottom up. Not the beach, but grains of sand. Instead of structuring a place, instead of a system of building, we start by structuring a material, a fabric. Instead of structure that supports a surface, instead of a surface laid over a structure, we develop a principle of economy, a surface that functions as structure, and at the same time and in the same place, a structure that functions as surface. Bits of surface, like grains of sand, like fish scales. Connectors between bits. The connectors are flexible. The bits are rigid. The bits are hard. The connectors soft. Now the surface twists and turns. It's flexible. Now the surface is tied and bound. It's load-bearing. From curved to flat, and then from flat to curved, etc. Surface laid over surface to make depth. Surface bending and folding to make structure. A surface you pull out, a surface that bulges to make furniture. Make a world in itself. Since the coffee and tea set should contain everything you need for coffee and tea, it should be a self-enclosure. Break the world up into parts. Since the set should have four servers for coffee, tea, milk, sugar, divide the sphere into four equal parts. Now make a hole in the world. Strip the world down. Strip the sphere of all you don't need for coffee and tea. Reduce the sphere to a loop of four volumes. Now warp the world. Stretch a pair of volumes opposite each other for coffee and tea. Shrink the other pair opposite for milk and sugar. The leftover spaces in between hold cups and saucers. The loop makes its own tray. You grab it by the narrow necks. You set the tray down on a table, and it rolls to rest on a flat spot along the edge. You take out a cup and saucer. Now the service of coffee and tea can begin. Roll the spheroid to a flat spot, opposite the server you want. Insert your cup into the hole and press up to pour coffee or tea. Rotate one turn and press up for milk. Rotate one turn more and press up for sugar. Furniture is midway between clothing and architecture. The way the skin covers the bones, clothing contains the body. A chair, then, contains the body contained by clothing. A room, then, contains the body contained by clothing contained by chair. Furniture is one move out of privacy, one small step toward going public. You can, after all, hold something in your hands. But as long as you do, your hands are tied. Your hands aren't free to touch and grab hold of anything else. So you put the thing away, in a box, in a drawer. Once you walk away from the chest of drawers, your possession is out of your hands, out of sight, and up for grabs. The closed door, the pulled-in drawer, provokes other people's desire. Once you sit in a chair, you have to get up sooner or later, or else you'll sink further and further in. You'll lie down and die. The chair has been shaped to fit the body. When you get up out of the chair retains human shape. The chair stands on its own four legs. The chair keeps its back up. Now that man has made his match, it has a life of its own. Moebius strip. A one-sided surface formed by holding one end of a rectangle fixed, rotating the opposite end through 180 degrees, and then applying it to the first end. A seat outside the circle becomes the back of a seat inside the circle, which becomes the back of a seat outside, which becomes a seat inside, which becomes the bottom of a seat outside, which becomes the bottom of a seat inside. Surface and structure are the same. It glows from within. Furniture and playground equipment and light are the same. The Moebius, as it rotates, is a shapeshifter. From the prototype, it's made in different sizes and of different materials. It might be outside or inside, public in the form of a bench or private in the form of a sofa. Klein bottle, a surface closed in such a way that it's possible to pass from a point on one side to the corresponding point on the opposite side without passing through the surface. It's formed by passing the narrow end of a tapered tube through the side of the tube and flaring this end out to join the other end. You're a child again. When you enter an opening, you're inside one neck of the bottle. You're face to face with a child climbing outside. You climb, you slide through the neck of the bottle as it passes from inside to outside and then enters inside again. You emerge inside the bottle now, but outside the necks of the bottle. You squeeze between tubes and sphere. From the inside now, you crawl into one neck of the bottle again. You slide through the tube as it shoots out of the sphere, and then circles back and comes in again, and passes through the sphere again. And now you're outside in the open air. A skylight functions as the release point of a room. The pressure point. Something, sunlight, comes in through the skylight. But something else can also go out. The skylight is the room's escape hatch. The skylight is the room's weak point, the fragile, translucent skin of a room. Within the shelter of a roof, a skylight is the denial of a roof and the reminder of a nostalgia for non-shelter. A skylight is the room's subversive element. Something in the air that tempts an explosion. It tempts fate and dares an explosion to happen. It hopes for an explosion. A room that comes out of itself. A room that repeats itself. A room so full of itself that it implodes. A room that turns in on itself. A room that bursts out of itself. A room turned inside out. When a room slips and loses its ground, then the ground takes over. The ground can grow over the room. This doesn't mean necessarily that the room is destroyed. It can mean instead that the room has been freed and open to different functions, alternative purposes. Something else can begin now, from the ground up. What do people want? What are you doing here anyway? Now that people are here, they might as well have the run of the place. Turn the place upside down. They'll find their way around. They'll find places to be and things to do. Once a room falls, then people can rise. Once another room rises within itself, then people can rise up with that room. The end of the ticketing pavilion on the ground floor of the airport. It's as if, now that there's nowhere else to go, the floors take off in flight. The ground floor swoops up onto the mezzanine, while the mezzanine sweeps out and down onto the ground floor. The floors come loose. The terrazzo floor peels up and arcs back to make a tunnel. As the arc touches down on the floor, it curls in to make a seat. Carpet from the mezzanine slips under the railing and falls down onto the ground floor below. It curls out to make a seat outside, facing the ticket counters. It curls in to make a seat under itself. The flying floors released plantings from under the ground as if a jungle was there all the time, waiting to spring out. As the terrazzo floor peels, it pulls plantings up with it. A peel of terrazzo floor stretches up to the mezzanine, where it comes around the column to make seats. The mezzanine carpet arcs back on itself. It makes a seat under itself. The mix of floors makes an indoor park at the end of the departures terminal. It functions as a sign. The release of the ground floor, the rise of the ground floor, leads travelers upstairs to the departure gates. It functions as a respite, a place to gather your thoughts and your belongings before going on to your trip. Time is fast and space is slow. Space is an attempt to place time and understand time. Space is a need to have something to see and solid ground to stand on. Space is a desire to follow the course of events and to believe in cause and effect. The electronic age obliterates space and overlaps places. You travel by airplane, you're in one place, then it's all white outside the window. And then, zap, you're in another place, with nothing in between. You're switching channels on a TV set, rewinding and fast-forwarding a videotape, instead of watching a movie from beginning to end. The electronic age establishes the primacy of time, the video game versus the pinball machine, the digital watch versus the clock whose hands travel around the field in which each individual second has a place. In a fast time, public space, in the form of an actual place with boundaries, is a slowing down process, an attempt to stop time and go back in history and revert to an earlier age. The plaza, bounded by buildings and owned by a corporation, is a nostalgia for 19th century nationalism. The model for a new public space is pop music. Music is time and not space. Music has no place, so it doesn't have to keep its place. It fills the air and doesn't take up space. Its mode of existence is to be in the middle of things. You can do other things while you're in the middle of it. You're not in front of it, and you don't go around it or through it. The music goes through you and stays inside you. Think of a gallery not as a place for the exhibition of art, but as a condition for the exhibition of art. Think of a gallery as a void, inside of which is the possibility, equipment, apparatus for showing art. Make the void, then, out of the front wall. The facade sucks itself in. It melts into a bulge, a blob, an ellipsoid that spills into the rectangle and fills the rectangle. It becomes a funnel that lets the city in. As you walk down the street, you follow the sidewalk inside, through the funnel, into the gallery. You enter a space without corners. You're in a curve that sweeps and swoops around you. You're in the inside of a translucent shell. It's lit from behind. The exhibition space is a void of light. There are no walls, no ceiling, no floor yet. The columns are the kernel of particular exhibitions. The columns store the gallery's architecture. Panels are folded out only where needed, to hang something from or to stand something on, or to make a walkway between things. This gallery is built and unbuilt and rebuilt from show to show. The leftover corner is the gallery's office and storage. The blob parts at the rear. The public spills into the gallery dealer's office. The gallery dealer slips out to play the crowd. The building is closed in on by overgrown shrubbery and weeds. An old building reclothed. It's given a second skin. A screen of stainless steel mesh encloses the balcony. The diagonal framework reorients the building. A glass facade breaks through the screen. It bulges out from the second floor, projecting images of people inside. It bulges into the store. It's as if it pulls back to accept you. A clothing store as soft as skin. The interior resembles fabric, like the clothes in the store. It's PVC sheeting, rear projection screen. It arches down to make walls. It's pulled out and pushed in to make shelves. It's pulled out and around to make a counter. A store on the surface, a store that's all surface. The skin glows from within. The surface lights the store. The small store bulges out of itself. Walls are removed and curving glass alcoves push out into the weeds and overgrown shrubbery around the store. Hanging clothes are inserted into the miniature jungle outside. Racks move in from outside. The end of each hanging rod makes a listening station for the CDs sold in the store. Two people standing in front of each mirror look at themselves through each other's gaze. As you stand back and look into the middle, your image is non-reversed. It's as if you're facing another person. Fashion without models. If you like how you look and the clothes you might buy, you can have yourself photographed. It's you who appears on the store facade, facing the street. You're wearing the clothes you want. You're looking good. You testify for United Bamboo. The space of a building is limited, but the number of people who might want to enter that space is potentially limitless. The building is always subject to explosion. Once the building puts its guard down, or once the people put the guard down by force, the building can burst with people. The wall and the floor are surfaces to look at and be on, but they're also spaces to be inside of. They're supports, but also containers. There's space under the floor, between stories. There's space inside the wall, between rooms. If people use these spaces in between, then people function as the bloodstream of a building. Once people are considered as a stream, once people are crowded together, they're too close to each other to see one another clearly. There's no distance from which one person can see another person's whole body. The bodies are blurred together. The non-seeing person has to resort to other senses. Once bodies can't be seen, they can't be separated. Not until a person is retaught and learns to use other senses as a distinguishing instrument. Once bodies can't be separated, they can't be judged. Once bodies can't be judged, there's no basis for choice, no reason not to be promiscuous. A store of rings. You're surrounded by products, you're roped in by products as you walk through the store. Every other ring is made of perforated metal shelves. The shelves have holes, so you almost don't see the shelves. You see only the products on the shelves. There's light behind the metal, lighting the products from behind. They're cheap products, products meant to be touched. You can grab the products, you pick the products up and turn them upside down. You handle them as you like. Every second ring is covered with glass. The products inside aren't meant to be touched. The products inside are too expensive to touch. A store of rotating rings. Every other ring rotates. Each successive rotating ring rotates in an opposite direction. One ring rotates clockwise, the next counterclockwise, the next one clockwise, down the line. A product on the move. Now you see a product you want, behind glass, at your side. Now it rises over your head, out of reach. Now it comes back again, on the other side. And now it disappears for a while, under your feet. The larger rings make rooms to the side. Rooms for larger products, furniture, rooms for watching video. The boundary of the room is a rotating ring. You're looking at one product inside the room, while another product rotates around you, catching your eye. The counter is a rotating ring. As you're buying products, more products skim past you. Two rings continue out the window. The store doesn't need a sign on the street. The store itself goes out onto the street. A gallery for the time being. A gallery is part of the gallery dealer's home. A steel wall passes from outside to inside. One section hinges to make the door. Two sections stretch out and warp into a reception desk and chair. The walls aren't changed, but only camouflaged, screened. The walls are covered with expanded metal, a universal hanging system. From the holes, an artwork can be hung anywhere, on every inch of the wall. Art can hang down from the ceiling. Each wall is built in sections. The sections pivot to make sculpture pedestals, stands for video monitors, seats for people in the middle of art. The gallery is a continuous ribbon that encloses the gallery within itself. Wall twists to make ceiling, which in turn twists to make wall. Fluorescent light tubes line the top of the walls. As a wall twists into a ceiling, light travels across the room. A plasterboard wall separates the gallery from the children's playroom. The top half stretches and twists into a projection screen inside the gallery. The wall turns off into the stairwell. Upstairs, it twists into a ceiling that twists into the walls of a smaller gallery. A steel wall separates gallery from office. It splits and warps into a desk and seats and shelves. Instead of spaces that people have to stop at and slip into, public art furnishes spaces that house people as they keep moving. It might be in the form of vehicles, or it might be clothing, that takes as its model the t-shirt that invites you to read text at the same time as it dares you to stare at the breast behind it. The end is public, but the means of public art might be private. The end is people, but the means might be individual persons. The end is space, but the means might be fragments and bits. In a long shot, in a panorama, land is landscape. Close up, land is either quicksand or hard rock. Either it sucks you in or it resists you and keeps you out. As you move through the park, inch by inch, each particle of grass or dirt is so soft it becomes a swamp. The earth quakes, the land splits and spirals downward, off the horizontal and into the vertical, underground. As you move down the street, inch by inch, each particle of sidewalk is so hard it becomes a reflective surface. Buildings that should have been far away at a safe distance come down and sandwich you inside. To the body without eyes, the body without language, the land close up becomes sea. Since the grass and dirt are soft, you might as well dig through. Sooner or later, water will seep through. To the body without eyes, the body without language, the land close up becomes sky. Since the concrete and asphalt are hard and you can't break through, all you can do is rub it, polish it, until it reflects the clouds. The new garden feeds off the old gardens. From the fences at the sides, a layer of fence is stretched across the leftover space in the middle. Climbing plants grow up and over the vertical fence. They spread out over the horizontal fence. As you walk into the garden, you're embedded in the garden. The garden is all around you, at chest height. A maze of walkways. As you go inside further and further, the garden comes in toward you, closer and closer. The narrowest paths, like corridors into a room, dead end in seats. When you sit down, the planting is at your head, over your head. You sink down into the garden. To get past notions of landscape, go, literally, past the land and down to the mines below the earth. The landscape is grounded on the pits and excavations below. Landscape architecture might be redefined as architecture in and under and through the land. Landscape architecture is the architecture that escapes the land, that hides and goes underground. If building on top of the land is addition, the act of adding structures to the land, then building under the land is subtraction, the act of taking land away so that structures can be fit inside the land. The land is analyzed, separated into bits. Landscape architecture is the architecture of basements, the building of a base. Slippage occurs from the base to basic instincts and baser desires. As a landmine, the land can be considered as an excavation, a hole, a cavern. Or the land itself can be picked up like a bomb, like a landmine, and exported elsewhere. A plot of land can be attached onto a building like a leech. The leech will grow, or inserted into a building and through a building like a cancer. The cancer will grow. Taurus. A solid or surface shaped like a donut. Picture a column rising out of the courtyard. It's a column of ivy. It's a hollow column that bulges out at the bottom. As it rises up, the column flares out at the top and curves back down onto the sidewalk at street level. Down in the courtyard, the bulging base of the column is a dome-shaped room made out of plants, an outdoor dining room for the restaurants around the courtyard. As it rises, the ceiling narrows like the neck of a bottle. You see a circle of sky. As the column flares out at the top and curves down to the sidewalk, it makes a tunnel. A tunnel of climbing plants around the neck of the bottle. It's a park you step out onto, off the sidewalk. The walkway is suspended in midair. A bicycle parking lot up in the trees. A circular ramp spirals straight up, like a tree trunk, into the middle of trees. When it reaches the foliage, the circle stretches and warps. The ramp loops around trees, and in and out of trees, and in between trees. You park your bicycle within trees. The guardhouse is a planet in the middle of rings, in the middle of a solar system. The middle of the sphere is transparent. Looking goes both ways here. The guard can look out, and you can look in. The transparent furniture can be revolved on track. A desk might be here, a table there, or they might be revolved against each other to make a long table. A microwave might be revolved away from the refrigerator and over to the desk. Shelves above the desk might be revolved over to the microwave. A TV revolves from office desk to kitchen table to visitor's chair. Landscape is an attempt to keep land in place, to keep land in one piece, lest it be fragmented and blown to bits by landmines. Definition: cavities in the earth that contain explosive charges just below ground surface, and that are designed to go off from the weight of persons passing over them. On a landscape, you're in the world of science fiction. Passing over the earth in a spaceship, you have a vantage point from which to explore the earth, map the earth. On a landmine, you're in the world of detective fiction, film noir. You don't have the luxury of looking around you and looking ahead. You have to keep looking at exactly where you are. One look to the side or to the front takes your mind off the earth at your feet. One look away and the earth takes over. The ground comes up from under you and blows you up off the ground. The private company goes public. The Novartis campus is stretched out to the street. A parking garage under a private park. The park is the suppression of the parking garage. The park is the result of the parking garage. The park separates into strips. The park above rides the parking garage below, like riding the waves. Park mixes with parking. The up and down strips of park let sunlight down into the parking garage. You walk up and down the park, into and out of the parking garage. You walk up and down the parking garage, in and out of the park. The private park stretches out to the street. Strips of park are pulled out and lifted up. Private leans on public. The sidewalk around the site peels up to make arches that support the raised strips of park. Novartis comes out to meet you. You drive, walk into the campus under the flying park. Now that the private park comes out, a public plaza comes in. In one direction, it's an amphitheater. In the other, it's face-to-face seating. Water flows down the gaps between strips. Sunlight shines down through water into the parking garage. Strips of an arch that hold up the park stretch out and wrap around to make the gatehouse. A strip pulls out of the gatehouse and passes overhead across the road, where it loops to make the visitor's waiting room. A view of the landscape can be replaced by a view into the landscape and through the landscape. The landscape, instead of being an object for the eyes, becomes an object for the body. Instead of being an object of sight, it's an object of touch, an object of the body's insertion into the landscape. In a close-up world, there's no distance that allows you to draw back and look. In a close-up world, things blur out of focus and can't be named. Instead of being the passive receiver of sight, the landscape becomes the active agent of motion. The landscape moves as it's subjected to motion, as it's moved into and moved through. The landscape rises and falls. It can be considered as a series of horizontal planes, parallel horizontal planes, going from below ground to above ground. These parallel horizontal planes are the infrastructure of behavior. They cut through the body as the body cuts through them. The body drifts through parallel planes of landscape, while parallel planes of landscape are driven through the body. We can't make fountains. A fountain is a point, a sculpture. We can try to make pools, we can try to make waterfalls. A pool is a floor, a waterfall is a wall, a surrounding. Waterfalls and pools are architecture. The water stretches out on either side of you. As you walk along the pathway, the far side of the water arises. The water slopes down toward you. Keep walking. The water closes in on you. The slope is steeper. The water around you is higher. It's as if these are wings of water. The wings are spread out at your sides. The wings are folding. You're wrapped up in wings of water. On each side now, the water is vertical. You walk between walls of water. You can turn the corner. You're released now. The water backs off. The water slopes away from you. The water recedes into the distance. The water is below you, at your feet. You're on solid ground again. In the meadow, where one path of water intersects another, a room is formed outside the paths. Whereas the paths of water make private spaces, the rooms of water make social space and public space. Land ho! The sailor's cry of discovery from high up on the mast, as the ship approaches its goal after a life at sea. This is the beginning of the word, landscape. In order for discovery to be possible, land has to be considered first as far away. Land has to be far off, so that it can be seen all at once as a panorama. Land recedes and becomes landscape. Landscape equals land escape. The land escapes out of your reach. The word landscape pulls the land away, or pushes you back away from the land. That land now, unused and unusable by you, is free to expand out in front of you. A river that the town forgot. A highway blocks the river off from the city. A line of masts runs down the middle of the river. In the middle of town, there's a call of the sea. The masts take the town into the river, and the river into the town. Shards of mirror at the top of the masts. You look up and see the river reflected above you. Lines of light float through the sky. The river illuminates the riverbank. You cross the street under a roof of plants from the riverbank. From a mast in the middle of the river, cable supports a market on the quay. A mast supports a floating restaurant. Islands of tables and chairs float on the water. A mast supports a floating theater. The masts support walkways. It's as if you're walking on water. You sit over the water, under a roof of climbing plants. Water is pumped up through the masts onto the shore. Triangular pools, miniature rivers, alongside the Mersey. Landfall. Definition. A sighting of land when at sea. The first sight of land after a voyage. The word landfall implies that when land's come upon for the first time, it's the land that comes upon you. Landfall is like snowfall, a rainfall. The land comes down the way snow and rain come down. For the land to come down, it has to first rise up. As the ship approaches the shore bulges. The shore swells up like a whale over the ship. The land engulfs the ship and the sea. The word landscape guards against the word landfall, so that the land doesn't come up like thunder. It's kept in place and at a distance. A river that runs through the city. A node in the river. A circulation route in the middle of the river. A twist of the river. The island is a bowl that morphs into a dome, that morphs into a bowl. Water pours down the shell of the dome into the river. Light streams up from below in the bowl and down from above in the dome. The bowl functions as a theater. When the bowl isn't used as a theater, it functions as a plaza in the middle of the river. The bleachers wave in and out. They make pockets for people sitting face to face. Where the bowl morphs into a dome and vice versa, a playground is formed by the warp. The dome functions as a cafe. A canopy above the entrance twists down to make lounge seats around the edge of the dome. The rubber edge of the terrace above twists down to make a bar. Strands of rubber twist and turn to make multiple bar counters at different heights. You can put down your drink wherever your hand happens to be. Behind the bar, the wall is sucked in to make shelves. Up on the terrace, you sit closer to the waterfall over the dome. Behind the kitchen is the bathroom. It's all mirrors. It's as if you're in a play. It's a rehearsal for being drunk. Functions are mixed on this island. In the theater, the backdrop of the stage is the playground. In the cafe, the playground forms a wall and ceiling. A child climbs above you as you take another drink. The homeless body is somewhere between the exploding body and the body politic. It's the body that's neither electronically dissolved nor politically determined. It's the body that remains whole, but is on the loose and on the run. If politics restores the body and preserves it, whether as victim or victimizer, then the homeless body is the body that's given one more chance, one last chance to get away from it all. The body is a wanderer as long as it's not a believer. The body is released now from prison or thrown out of the house. The homeless body is up for grabs. The homeless body is out on the streets, where it takes what it can get. The homeless body is the body with no strings attached. The location of the political body is the city, where the contact with and the pressure of other bodies forces discussion, argument, and a potential revolution. The location of the homeless body is the park, the enclave within a city, where the body withdraws and takes time out and dreams or plans a new city. If the occasion for the political body is life on Earth, then the occasion for the homeless body is outer space. In use since 1951, the dump has formed into a mountain. The garbage draws birds. Because the Tel Aviv airport is nearby, there's fear that the birds will cause airplane accidents. A city formed from garbage, with garbage, and for people. The slopes are stabilized by concrete mesh. Rows of solar panels are inserted into the grid. The city emerges out of garbage and rises toward the sun. The irregular top of the dump is leveled into plains, a grazing field for cows, croplands. The city sustains itself. A public park descends an incline. You walk out on gangplanks over wetlands. Concrete mesh folds out and spirals in on itself, forming a stadium. The exterior of the stadium is a town hall or a convention center. The concrete mesh is stretched up above the slope and tilted. Houses and a school are plugged into the wall. They reach out for a view of Tel Aviv and the Mediterranean. The city is powered from the garbage it settled in. Methane gas is drawn out of the dump. It's processed and distributed back to the city. You enter the city from below. From the highway, you drive off into a tunnel. It comes up onto islands of parking within the wetlands. You leave your car and take a monorail up the top edge of the rising concrete wall around the city. The monorail station is a neighborhood park. It becomes a funicular that descends the inside wall. It's a multi-level supermarket for last-minute shopping on your way home. You enter your home from above. A city of magic carpets. A former garbage dump. Reuse of the dump. Each rug is a web of bowls that ride the tide of the dump. Methane gas feeds the city from below. The city is powered by garbage. As methane gases are released from the dump changes shape. The rugs hug the shifting contours of the mound. When a bowl tilts on the slope, The bowl inside, the ball inside, swivels to stay horizontal. A rug of green for a self-sustaining city. Grazing fields, croplands, trees and plants. A rug of water, fish farms, swimming pools, fountains. A rug of buildings, factories mirrored, stores and offices transparent, houses half mirrored, half transparent. As the rugs drape over the mound, they're lifted up to frame a public space below. You've walked between rugs into a plaza of waterfalls and hanging plants. From here, you access the city, up the columns. Time passes and the flying carpet falls. As gas is released and the mound settles, the bowls descend like spaceships. We love cities, but we hate monuments. We love the city as a walk, but we hate the city as a triumphal march. A monumental pillar glorifies the city, but it belittles the people who inhabit the city. A gateway announces that the city is walled in, so that either you're allowed to enter the city, or you have to enter the city by force. An observation tower takes you up above the city, away from the everyday use of the city. From there, you can only look, you can't touch, you can't reach. You're in the position of desire or frustration. At the same time, we recognize the need for markers and announcements and entrances and exits. So we try to start from the ground up. We would let the ground move up and down and across. Instead of inserting an archway at the edge of the city, we try to let the city loosen, break, come apart at the seams, making an entrance as it parted. Like a wave of the ocean, like the sand in waves. The program is that the station has views to the beach. Use the wave, then, to make a view. The force of a wave. The wave forces a view. The facade itself should be a wave, like a wave in the ocean, like a wave of sand. As the facade waves up and down, it waves in and out. As the facade waves in and out, it waves up and down. A ramp to the station. The facade waves up and down. It waves out. It breaks to make an entrance. The facade waves out, bulges out to enclose the stairway. The facade on one level waves in between the waves of the other level. The facade bulges out. The bulge twists. The facade bulges in. The facade breathes in on one level. It waves onto the other level, where it breathes out. As the facade bulges out, it reaches a breaking point. It opens to make a view. As the facade bulges in, it reaches a breaking point. It opens to make a view. The bulging facade stops short of its breaking point. It bulges just far enough in to make a seat. It bulges just far enough out to make a seat. Public space is an old habit. I should be thinking only of a condition, but instead I imagine an architectural type, and I think of a piazza or a town square or a city commons. The public gathers in two kinds of spaces. The first is a space that is public, a place where the public gathers because it has a right to the place. The second is a space that's made public, a place where the public gathers precisely because it doesn't have the right, a place made public by force. In the space that is public, the public whose space this is has agreed to be a public. They're public when they act in the name of the city. They own the city, only in quotes. The establishment of certain space in the city as public is a reminder, a warning, that the rest of the city isn't public. New York doesn't belong to us, and neither does Paris, and neither does Des Moines. Setting up a public space means setting aside a public space. Public space is a place in the middle of the city, but isolated from the city. Public space is the piazza, an open space separated from the closure of alleys and dead ends, a space in the light, away from the plots and conspiracies in dark, smoky rooms. Just as the facades on both sides of the courthouse each have an arch, the floor of each plaza, has an arch of its own. The building arch is stepped back. The arch on the ground, then, is divided into strands. The strands loop up from the pavement and twist and turn. They weave together to make a braid. The braid ties up the plaza like a chain. It's a barrier. It stops vehicles from reaching the courthouse. But the barrier is like an open hand, spread open fingers. You can see between the strands. The barrier is camouflaged. It passes as an amphitheater. The plaza becomes a performance space. The braid gathers people into a community. The braid meanders around the ground. It detours and swerves around elements in the plaza, or it gravitates towards them and intertwines with them. The braid unbraids. The strands pull apart. They're stretched up to let you through. Milling in the crowd, lost in the crowd, are the others. The outsiders. The people who've broken the contract. The people who don't have a home here. Public space doesn't belong to them. They can be tourists, transients, scouts, but they can never be inhabitants. For them, public space has to be taken. Public space is not a contract, but a strategy. Public space is a discovery. The site is found and explored. The flag is planted. The property is requisitioned. Public space is remade in their own image. The Bariana lives parasitically. It clings onto land that doesn't belong to it. Its building materials are leftovers from the father city. Its means of nourishment is to tie into services, electricity, heat, water, that are directed elsewhere. Sao Paulo is intersected by elevated highways. They cut through neighborhoods. They've destroyed neighborhoods. This modular system clings to an elevated highway. Raised off the street, it makes a community center for people forced to live on the street. The module is a volume skewed in plan and in section. It moves up and down and across. Each module is a sequence of stepped platforms. As you inhabit the container, you step up and down the container. You step up and down from one container to the other. The modules underneath the highway are roofed by the underside of the highway. They're indoor places that function as lounges and service areas. In different locations, one module might be substituted for another, according to particular needs. The modules climb up next to the highway. Trees rise between walls, up over walls. The walls make pockets of parks. The walls screen the parks from traffic on the highway. The modules are sheathed with cheap translucent corrugated fiberglass. They're lit from inside. As a byproduct, they illuminate the highway and the streets and sidewalks under it. The intention of the Bariada is to keep people alive, day-to-day living. As a byproduct, this life is seen by others, the chinks in the armor. The loopholes of the ramshackle construction serve as invitations to the voyeur, the spy, the guard. A space that's usable by people becomes, in the end, used and used up. The ultimate public space is a ravaged space. The space has been used so much by people that the space is used up. It disintegrates under their feet. The public space is purified now. It's made up of so many bodies that the air is squeezed out of it. The people give each other mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The space of public space can itself be made public. Not to function for a public, but to be public in itself. To be open, common. Out of itself. A space is made public when it gives up being made and lets itself go. A space begins to go public when it goes out of itself, separates from itself. The space drifts off into space, into its connotations of outer space. A space goes public when it continues to go until it disappears into the public. The space dissolves into neurons and waves and particles. The space becomes a network of parallel spaces, physical space, projective space, topological space, that mix into one intertwined space, transmitted through telephone, television, computer. The goal of public space is to dissolve into the nerves of the public. The goal of public space is for space and public to be one and the same. Walk to the subway now. You walk in under a shell. It began at the ground and rose up like a wave toward the entrance. The screens are like Venetian blinds. The surrounding ramps and their retaining walls, the cars, the buses, the buildings, they're all turned into flickers of images, as if in a movie, a kaleidoscope, a flipbook. The screens are mirrored. You see yourself, you see the walkway, rising up from mirrored slat to mirrored slat. The surrounding buildings fall down to the ground. You're caught between two shells. You can rest here, covered over inside a pocket park. In the meantime, another screen has been rising over you all the while. As you look up, the buildings have turned blue. The ground at your feet has turned blue. Light bounces up from slat to slat. You sit on light. The mirrors illuminate the walkway. A swath of something, it could almost be a liquid, swoops out from under the overhang above the entrance. It's as if a liquid has been flung out from under and frozen in the air. It's subjected to gravity and descends toward the ground as it flows. The roof should not be an object within the sight, but an instrument that transfers the sight and transmits the sight. It's as if the surroundings are formed and transformed into a roof. The roof is mirrored above and below. So that the roof can stand up, it's pulled down to the ground to make columns. As the roof is pulled down, it's also pulled up into a funnel. Sunlight comes in and shoots down, like the spotlights on stage inside the Performing Arts Center. Under the glass overhang, another funnel is pulled down. It shoots artificial light toward the entrance into the building. Outside the column, the ground rises up to the roof. Inside the column, the wall that circles around you reflects the sky. You're sitting inside a room of sky. The smaller column might be used as a meeting room. The larger column might be used as a performance area outside the official theater inside. At night, from the ring around the funnel, light bounces over the circular walls and down into the plaza. Light shoots up the column. It used to be you could walk down the streets of a city and always know what time it was. There was a clock in every store. All you had to do was look through the store window as you passed by. But then times changed, and time went away. Well, it didn't go away exactly, but it certainly did go out. Time went out like a virus and spread through all those bodies walking the streets. Time aimed straight, not for the heart, but for the arm. It fit around the wrists in the form of a watch. The quartz watch that was no trouble to make and no worry to wear. The cheap wristwatch you could buy for $2 or $3 off the shelf and on the street. The wristwatch was no longer an expensive graduation present, no longer a reward for a lifetime of service to the corporation. Time came cheap now. You picked up a watch like a pack of matches as you walked down Canal Street. There was no need anymore for time to be installed on the street, in a bank or a liquor store. No need for time to be set in place, to be in the place where you happened to be, when all the while you were on your own time. You wore time on your sleeve. You had time, almost, in the palm of your hand. Public time was dead. There wasn't time anymore for public space. Public space was the next to go. An accidental plaza made by bombings during World War II. The surrounding buildings here weren't meant to shape a plaza. They just happened to be there on the edge. A circle in the square. The circles are expanded into spheres. They rise like bubbles through the surrounding buildings. The plaza swells up out of itself. You spiral from one sphere, one globe, one world into another. Park spheres. Parking sphere. Subway spheres. You enter through the subway sign and take an escalator through trees down to the subway station below. Market sphere. Translucent shades are pulled up to let in air. Theater sphere. The shell is two-way mirror. On performance nights, the spotlit stage can be seen from outside. Aviary sphere. You walk under birds, beside birds, above birds. Skate sphere. From beneath the translucent ramps, you see the shadows of skateboarders above. Swim sphere. The pool extends down into the subway station below. You walk under an aquarium of human beings. Where two spheres interlock, service spheres. The new plaza is a city within the city. The collision of circle with square, of sphere with sphere, of spheres with surrounding buildings, is the collision of town and country, street and park, architecture and landscape, overground and underground. The house is made up of talk. The home survives on a mixture of voices, each of which can be heard and responded to by other people in the home, who, once they hear, know that they are not alone in the house. The people in the house drive themselves into a corner that they can then call home. Family talk can't be allowed out of the house. If a voice is thrown outside the walls, the family becomes confused. It no longer knows where it is. The home opens out into the street and becomes confused with the street. Considered from the outside, then, the house that remains a home keeps silent. If an outsider hears a voice from inside the house, the home is made all too familiar, all too human. The outsider feels at home and has a way in. The barriers of the home are broken. Considered from the outside, the house that remains a home should only be seen and not heard. Should only be seen and therefore desired. Whereas the house talks within, it writes without. The house puts a sign up outside to show off its public image. The house as writing presents itself as a page, a wall, a flat plane that acts as armor. Talk, on the other hand, would have had no boundaries. Once the house talks, it's opened inside out. Public space in an electronic age is space on the run. Public space is not space in the city, but the city itself. Not nodes, but circulation routes. Not buildings and plazas, but roads and bridges. Public space is leaving home and giving up all the comforts of the cluster places that substitute for the home. Space on the run is life on the loose. There's no time to talk. There's no time to stop and have a relationship, which would be a denial of all those other bodies you're side by side with on the street. One different body after another, one body replacing another. The electronic age and the age of AIDS become intermixed in an age of virus, whether that virus is information or disease. Each person becomes too infected, either with information or with disease, to be with another. You come to visit, not to stay. The old museum is cut back to its bare bones. In between the remains, the new museum expands and contracts. Between columns, the glass facade is pulled out. Above, the glass roof juts up and steps down, like a city skyline. Where a glass box pushes in, a strip of grass and plantings comes with it. You're outside the walls of the museum, but at the same time, you're within the space of the museum. Where a glass box pulls out, you're inside the walls of the museum, but at the same time, you're within the space of the park. From the facade extrusions, walls slide in on track to change the exhibition space, to make different sized exhibition spaces. From the roof protrusions, ceilings lower and rise to make spaces of different heights, to direct light into the space. At night, the glass extrusions are lit from inside. The roof extrusions are a sign that can be read from afar, from the middle of the park or along the highway. The space that is made public began as its own opposite. This was a space that was never meant to be public at all, a royal space or a presidential space or a corporate space. This private and privileged space had inherent in it, from its beginning, the seeds of public space. The fact of its existence provoked desire. its privacy functioned as a taunt to the public that felt left out. Once that space has been taken over by force and made public, it has inherent in it, in turn, the seeds of private place. Private space becomes public when the public wants it. Public space becomes private when the public that has it won't give it up. If a building nowadays is going to be exploded anyway, then a new building might as well come pre-exploded, already exploded. Take the site of the original World Trade Center. Take the whole site, including the space around the original buildings. Extrude the whole site 110 stories, the height of the original buildings. There's more of a mass now, more of a volume, than the original World Trade Center ever was. Now shoot cones through it. The unnecessary office footage, the extra volume, is blown away. A building full of holes. Urban camouflage. A terrorist flying by above looks down and says, "We don't have to bother with that one. It's already been dealt with." Now that the building is riddled with holes, the rest of the city can come in. Parks come in. Plazas and streets come in. Street vendors, food stands, markets. Instead of a public plaza, a public garden in front of a private building, plazas and gardens here are shot through the building. Public and private are intermixed. You see through the building. Light streams through the building like spotlights. It rains and snows through the building.